Sometimes we can find it difficult to find ourselves in an uncommon place. We'll start to tortoiseshell or to hide our uniqueness out of that fear of not being accepted. And I felt that happened to me many times, especially when I walk into a lot of these large rooms or on these stages, when my background didn't come from the same background as a lot of people that I'm speaking to. You know, we struggled for food and sat in line at the food pantry while other people became valedictorians in those same schools. And I think that the thing for me is not that I don't fit in those rooms, but it's who else is like me or that may understand me. And that's something that Julius dove deep into in this interview that was so special to me.
The reason why I needed people here, I realized the other day, it's not about diversity. I used to always think I need more people coming. It's about a safe space. Mm-hmm. I walk into these rooms, imposter syndrome kicks in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should be here. I don't know what I should be saying. But then the minute I see somebody else that represent any set of diversity that I can connect with, I'm like, you know what? You're my safe space, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to do that this time. I knew he was coming. Mm-hmm. So I don't care who's in the room. As long as my brother's in the building, in the most uncomfortable moment, I can look over there and be like, you know what? I'm going to be okay. And we underestimate the importance of safe spaces in places where we're the only. Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that, when he talked about how we found our tribe, right? How we found other people that had that likeness, and there was still diversity within that group, but it made us feel comfortable enough to speak out, right? I want you to do that same thing, and it's to find your tribe, find the people that embrace your uniqueness and run away from those who don't. And that's why I think that this interview would be so powerful for so many people that are trying to find themselves, trying to find that uniqueness, trying to find that purpose, and not being able to be afraid of and self-doubt to take over. So excited for your thoughts on the interview, and I'll have another one up soon.
Geography, story, experience, grit, things that I've been through, having to deal with imposter syndrome, mental health, all these things that got me to this room, you might never understand, mm-hmm. but that will help me add a different lens to anything you bring to the table.
Here in New York City at the SAP headquarters, and it's been an absolutely amazing week. Julius contacted me while I was at HR Transform, and he said, Nathan, I have an opportunity for you, and I want you to just hear me out. And he invited me to the World Summit on Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and the thing that got my attention the most was the reason that he wanted us to be there. It was about having more people in the room that are diverse in their backgrounds and in their lifestyles, and it's just something that I truly believe in. It's something I didn't even notice as a level of importance as it really is, and I wanted to know why that's so important to you and why you wanted to invite me in the first place.
Absolutely. So, backstory, we met in Portugal at the mm-hmm. Web Summit, right? So the Web Summit is this big tech conference that nobody that looks like us typically attends, typically knows about, because the idea of going global for a conference is a new concept, so let's start there. So I meet him, he explains to me what he does, and I was like, wow. This is crazy, only because a lot of times when you hear people in our groups, we think all diversity is in the same space. That's the first lie. We have diversity within our own diversity, right? We're in different cities, states, businesses, emerging industries, and that's what made him so interesting, because he's from Milwaukee, I'm from DC. He does AI, I do policy, and we met in Portugal. Mm-hmm. But when people see us sitting next to each other, they assume, oh, these brothers know each other from, he must be his manager because he's a ball player. Right? So when he said, when I got wind about this conference, and I was like, yo, Nathan, you gotta come. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let him tell you his response. When I said, yo, you gotta be here, what did you say?
First thing I said to him was like, okay, I'm gonna be there, because if you think it's important, I think it's gotta be important for me too, because he's never gonna waste my time.
But that's the number one rule. A lot of times we put each other on, but there's always like, man, I got this and that, this and that. What I appreciate about this brother, he said, I'll be there. He didn't ask too many questions because he trusted the product that I was selling. Mm-hmm. But what he didn't realize is I'd already like ran his valuation up. I already knew if I invite you to a space, I don't got to look out for you. I don't got to hold your hand. And I trust the diversity you bring to the table is important to the room, right? And I'm only saying that to say it's an important thing to find people in your tribe and just be willing to trust them in your space, right? He's not gonna take my plate. There's enough for us to eat, and we can both be great together in the same room, even if it's a room that's never seen by us. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was a big thing.
Yeah, and honestly, one of the biggest things that I noticed, even when I was in Las Vegas for HR Transform, I got into a really uncomfortable setting. I was invited to this VIP dinner, and I got there, and the first thing that came to mind to me, I walked in, I was like, oh my gosh. One, everyone's from Ivy League school. I didn't go to college. And two, nobody looks like me. So I felt so out of place, and the first thing that I did was I tortoiseshelled. And I tortoiseshelled so much that a guy by the name of Jordan turned to me and he said, tell me a little bit more about you. And as soon as I started talking, I felt that warmness coming from him, that it was genuine. And that's the thing, is that sometimes we need that little bit of a nudge to break out of that tortoise shell. And it all has to do with just trusting the process, like you said. And we also want to see more representation in those rooms, not just for African Americans, but for women, but for everybody, because we need more diversity. And it was something that was apparent when we walked into this room.
Yep.
Is it was like, man, like, not that we are like always searching that, oh, everyone has to be of our same color, but it's just important to know that, like, you're not alone when you're stepping outside of your comfort zone.
And I love that, because for me, the reason why I needed people here, I realized the other day, it's not about diversity. I used to always think I need more people of color. It's about a safe space. Mm-hmm. I walk into these rooms, imposter syndrome kicks in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should be here. I don't know what I should be saying. But then the minute I see somebody else that represent any set of diversity that I can connect with, I'm like, you know what? You're my safe space, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to do that this time. I knew he was coming. So I don't care who's in the room, as long as my brother's in the building. In the most uncomfortable moment, I can look over there and be like, you know what, I'm gonna be okay. And we underestimate the importance of safe spaces in places where we're the only.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, yeah, and there's not a lot of startups in our space. There's not a lot of people looking to build a tech company. This is my first time. Like, when I first got like venture funding, my first thing was panic. I was afraid of it. I'm like, man, like, all these things are gonna happen. My life is gonna be taken away from me because they're gonna take control of my life. And there's all these fears started coming into play, not because they were valid, because they were not. I have the greatest investors you could ever ask for, but I created that idea off of the imposter syndrome. Like, this opportunity shouldn't be happening for me. I'm just gonna mess it up. And that's something where I needed to find my safe space. And I've started to find that tribe within a lot of individuals, because it was like, I'm not the only one that feels that way. So look beyond the color of your skin or your gender and think about that intrinsic value. Like, are there other people going through the same things as me, so that I can find that safe space regardless of where I am?
And then the other amazing thing, so when we show up and we feel comfortable, safe, we present differently, right? Mm-hmm. So we had a different confidence.
Yeah.
We were like, you know what, I'm not here to like sell anything. I'm just here to understand this room. So when people met us, right, they're like, you guys are different. We don't understand what makes you different. Wait, you're in AI, you're in blockchain, you work for the government. We just thought black was a linear thing. And we got to a space when, by the time they were done talking with us, the last thing they remember about us, our diversity. Mm-hmm. Right, because we show up in every single industry, anything. Mm-hmm. Right, diversity is what we lead with. That's a genetic thing that we cannot step away from, but that is not the sum total of who I am, right?
Uh-huh. Amen.
And I think we force that in this room, because so now when they're describing us, they can be like, oh, they're not saying that's the brother right here who showed up to an event to add color. They're saying he's an AI platform. He owns mm-hmm. his own company. He's connected to that guy who's in blockchain. Mm-hmm. By the time they're done with us, their memory of us is gonna be like, wow, we've never seen that level of diversity, absent of color first, but also attached to a person.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
they got to confront two truths.
There's diversity in the story. There's diversity in your economics. There's diversity in your geographics, and it's so different, right? And the one thing I want to talk about on this point is, you're not a quota. A lot of times, you know, you'll feel like you're a quota, and it happened to me. As soon as we got into an accelerator, as soon as we got venture funding, somebody was like, "Oh, the only reason you got in is they needed a black guy." You know, they needed to make sure that the group was diverse. Oh, or you're the token black guy for your investor. And it was so insulting, because what it did is it stripped me of everything that I worked for. And it basically said that the reason that I was chosen is because I was a quota. And that's not true. Nobody is a quota. Your hard work can never be erased just because of somebody's perception of you. And it was proven today. It was proven in so many regards. And I met other African Americans or other women or other individuals from different parts of the world that were not a quota either. Granted, we are a smaller segment of the group, but it does not make us a quota.
And I'll say, or don't settle for the idea of being a quota, because a lot of people fill the diversity box by getting one in the room. And they're like, you know what? we're doing diversity, but we have to force people to realize there's so much more to me than that. And there's so much you can gain from me being in this room than just adding me as a quota, because like you said, geography, story, experience, grit, things that I've been through, having to deal with imposter syndrome, mental health, all these things that got me to this room, you might never understand, but that will help me add a different lens to anything you bring to the table.
And to bring up something really awesome is that when we talk about diversity and these journeys and these stories, everybody has a different version. And I want to bring up a story. So last night we were at dinner, and we all had a different perspective of the challenges that people face. And Julius helped us to realize that in this heated debate that we both were right in that situation, where I didn't realize my uniqueness and the individual I was speaking to didn't realize their uniqueness. We just wanted to be heard. But at the same time, we realized that neither one of us were listening. And what we need to realize is that we have two ears and one mouth, so our goal is to listen twice as much as we speak. And I want you to kind of touch on how you view the situation from an outside perspective.
So no, it was a phenomenal thing. So I'm gonna put the whole setting. One, five people call in a Korean barbecue restaurant, right? So that's how it starts. But what's happening there was like, actually, like once you take a step back, was intense. So you had a brother from Inglewood, California, with a blockchain startup. A sister who was a school psychologist quit it all to be a fashion stylist. You had Nate, who has the most interesting, diverse background. Brother from Milwaukee, by way of Chicago. Interesting life story, right? Like there's a trauma attached to his story, who at some point said, you know what? That will not be my story. There's me, an African immigrant, right? Born and raised in Kenya. And then across the table, there's Anya Lewis, who Southern roots, Connecticut, but a woman of color in tech spaces. So the perceived conflict came when hungry, most driven, like she's one of the hungriest people I know, Anya Lewis. She's had to work for everything that she knows, right? Across the table was a brother who, Nate, who's also had to work for everything he knows. But there was almost like and I don't believe in gender roles, but there's a masculine and feminine perspective, meaning that she has to deal with things that he might never consider because she's a woman of color in tech and entrepreneur. Meg has to have to do things that she can never imagine because he's a male of color coming from a really unique background, one of the few men in his family with no actual examples of what it means to be men, who got to a place and just said, "Nah, I did this, not because I'm black, not because I'm special, because I wanted this, I wanted better for me, and this is what I know to be true." I'm sitting there like, there's nothing normal about either one of you, but you guys are trying to convince each other about a normal version of your story. So he's like, nah, it's not that deep. If you work hard, and I'm like, time out, and they're like, no. And I was like, nah, brother, like, you are the exception to the rule. As painful as that might sound, we are the exception sitting at that table. Anya is also one of the exceptions to the rule, meaning she's gone through more trauma than she's had language for. When we show up to the room, people just see our excellence and our success because we overcame our trauma. But our trauma is still bad. So I'm just saying, here's the thing. For most people, you know, that we know, they never outlive their trauma. Right? So you're like, no. It's not like I lived my trauma. That's my story. I just made a decision that my trauma was not going to be my identity. I'm just saying, hey, I get you, but emotionally, you have to accept that most people who deal with as much trauma as you went through will not amount to what you did. And you're like, well, no. And then I just said, you have to take into consideration that most white people, this is where it got interesting, there's a white bias in success. And you're like, nah, all the people who've helped me have actually been like, I've actually had a black bias. The people who never supported me going up were black. And I'm just like, that might be true, but you gotta understand the reason why white people supported you. It's because of your trauma story. You're like, nah, it's because I'm excellent. And she's like, well, here's the thing. My excellence, my support was never enough for me. And my brother, who was smarter, didn't work as hard, to this day can have a faster road to my success. And you're like, yeah, if he works on it. And she's like, no, because there's some level of privilege to just your identity. But at the end of the day, we realize, wow, she's coming from a perspective of learned trauma, which you overcame, and you're coming from the perspective of learned trauma that you overcame. And the consensus was, you know what? I normalize everything that I went through. You're right about that. I've been walking like what I did was normal, and I never took into consideration the reality of your truth. And she was like, you know what? You taught me that you're right to a certain degree. We fall for the story, the narrative of less than, all the factors against us, and we make that our narrative. But you're right, like at the end of the day, we have to create a level of expectation where if I work hard and I do the right thing, connect with the right people, at the end of the day, that should lead to success. I have to accept that too. And we walked away with more deeper friendships.
Yes.
It was uncomfortable for everybody else who was watching them go back and forth. Even the Koreans were like, I've seen this on TV. And I was like, hey, sir, eat your Korean barbecue. And I don't know why I made that joke. But needless to say, it was a very important conversation that otherwise never would have happened if we weren't leveraging our diversity even amongst people of color. Because we're not the same person. Mm-hmm. Like, we're five black people, but nothing about us was the same.
That's absolutely true, and that it created that deeper bond, and it created a story that I'm now going to be able to share for a long time to come, because it's so many things that I don't even realize that other people go through, and that we all need to understand that there's always going to be a trauma story for every single individual, regardless of your background, regardless of everything that you ever experienced or your color, and you have to have the ability to understand multiple walks of life and eliminate both bias, conscious bias and unconscious bias. And there's a variety of ways to do it, but I highly suggest that you begin practicing how to eliminate bias in every aspect of your life so you can include more individual stories into your own and have an open perspective of how you can offer value to them, even though their story may be different than yours. So, Jesus, I really sincerely appreciate you bringing me out here for this amazing event. And there are so many other opportunities like this where I want to see so many different people show up in the room where you may not feel comfortable. Be uncomfortable, be bold, be beautiful, be unique, and just stay strong in your mission, and no matter what, everything's gonna work out.
And bring your tribe, right?
And bring your tribe. Don't go alone. Bring your tribe.
The collective diversity of what we bring to the table is the game changer in every room. Like, everybody else uses our talent, our skills, our narrative, our story, so we gotta walk up and be like, you know, you said something about my people, my identity, what I ascribe to be, but may I lend some insight to you, right? It doesn't have to be confrontational. Believe it or not, there's an actual intent to understand us, but we're just never at the table to explain, and I hate the word explain, to comfortably correct and disrupt what they think to be true, right? Biases exist, eat them. But the only way you can shift a bias is show up in a different way than they expect. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, without surrendering your identity, right? So, because we showed up, I remember yesterday, and this is the last story, we went suited and booted. We came back again. Hoodies. Three brothers in hoodies.
Nikes.
And it was fascinating to see the people that didn't recognize me. But at the end of the day, that didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. Right? I was with my tribe. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm worth, and I know what I bring to the table. But it's important for you to be comfortable in both worlds, right? Your dual identity is relevant, and it matters. We got to walk with that truth as well. So thank you for coming. Thank you for showing up.
No, I sincerely appreciate it. And the closing quote is something I heard earlier that Clinton said, and it was about how intelligence is the only thing that is distributed equally since the beginning of time, but access and opportunity and awareness is not. So everybody has the ability to grow, and everyone is intelligent in their own unique right, but just remember that without access and without that awareness, you're never going to grow. So expose yourself to new things. Well.